Tonight, I want us to look at a question and deal with that question. How human was Jesus? Now, folks, very important question, because you have a lot within the Christian realm, a lot of people professing to be Christians that do have a horrible time really believing that Jesus was 100% human. So, how human was Jesus? Let's look at it this way. We have learned and believe that Jesus is 100% God, right? But what was the incarnation process of Jesus? Now, here it is. Incarnation, from Latin, meaning becoming flesh, becoming human. Okay, God with us, Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus comes from heaven. He came from heaven and is returned back to his home. You and I were at earth and we're going to heaven. We began on earth and we're headed for heaven. Jesus began in heaven, came to earth for us, and then he returned to his home in heaven. Can't you imagine how homesick he really was? Can't think of this, because he had to take on 100% humanity. And people say, well, no, he didn't. He was God. Wait a minute. The reason God was sending Jesus, the reason Jesus was coming is because of the human race and the sin in the human race. Okay, sin, every aspect of it, from thought or lack of thought or whatever, actions and all of that had to be dealt with. And God had set everything in motion in creation, and nothing vile or evil could come in the presence of God. And not even could the believers come in the presence of God in the human existence and live. So God, looking at you and I, we were not the cause of what went on in the garden. We were not the cause of the fall of man. So therefore, would it be right for a righteous judge to condemn someone who did not know the law, did not have anything to do with it, yet sin was prevalent in the human race? So God, knowing that the only answer, this isn't just something that he came up with in the spur of the moment, oh my goodness, Adam messed up, him and Eve both. He already knew what would happen. So the scripture tells us before time was, God had set his plan into motion. Number one, Jesus' humanity began from his deity. Meaning, what is it? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What, did he not say, come, let us go down? Remember that? Let's say it was a staff meeting. Let's say it's a get-together. Because that's as far as you and I can think on this. Because, you see, we don't understand spiritual matters. And God knows that we don't understand spiritual matters in so many cases. So therefore, he tells us about gold is precious. And, you know, heaven is like gold. Well, the more studying I do and you do, you realize that it's greater than gold. But the only thing he could relate for us is gold and the precious jewels and all of this. Well, it's going to be greater than that. But God sends his son to be a human being. The pre-incarnate Christ had one nature. Okay, think of this, because you need to learn that Jesus is the only person, personality, that has ever possessed two natures. In heaven, he was a pre-incarnate Christ, had one nature, which was a divine nature. Now, John 1:1-2. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. There again, you and I can understand that this is pre-planned. And there's where the arguments began with human beings, when we had rather argue than just accept the blessing from God. When we said, now see, don't we understand that I don't have a choice in this matter? No, I don't understand that you don't have a choice, because you do have a choice. And God had pre-planned life on earth to where those who would choose his son would choose life with his son. And the planning was complete. But in order for it to take place the way God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had planned this, then Jesus had to come. He knew he was going to have to come because we were going to mess it up. Remember this morning when I said Jesus saved me as a young boy, he knew right then of all the mess ups I was going to be going through in my life. He already knew I was going to mess up, but he saved me anyway. I was his, and yet he would be walking with me. Now, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. There's no time except for one time in history when Jesus, the Son of God, was ever separated from God the Father. And we know what that time was, on the cross, right? Okay. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. Okay, the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus, referred to many times as the Word. The Word became flesh. That's our only hope, folks. If anything about the life of Jesus is a lie, we are of all people most miserable. But have you really looked at life and looked at the world and looked at religion throughout the world and throughout the United States of America? Religion is falling, but a relationship won't. That's why Christians have a relationship with Christ. We are named after him, Christians. I am a Christian. I carry the name of Christ, a personal relationship. The religion part deals with the study part. The religion part deals with human nature of wanting to say, what church you go to? And if you're Baptist, you say, what church you go to now? And you change it back and forth. So the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus made his dwelling among us. Now, as he walked that 3 years in his ministry, at 30-some years of his human existence, and I know we say it's 33 years, and then the other said, no, the calendar's messed up, it's 38. I don't care. He was here. They can fuss about the calendar all they want to. That's fine. 33 and 38. Big difference in this, because you see there must be a mistake. No, here's where the mistake is. Is if the gospel or if the truth of God is so fixed to where every human being can understand it, every scientific mind can understand it, it's not God. So God didn't go around and say, oh, we got to fix up this deal on the age part. Oh, we got to fix up the deal about how long Jesus was really in the tomb, 3 days and three nights. But look at it. He wasn't really there 3 days and three nights. And so they said this and whatnot. Well, if it's a fraud, don't you think that the one committing the fraud would have caught that and fixed it to begin with? But it is the truth. Jesus coming to earth as a human being. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus had to come in the flesh, deified in heaven, the deity in heaven, but coming to be on earth as a human being. How could Jesus feel my pain and your pain? How could God understand me? Would we not be crying out to God, God, how do you know how I feel? Because you're God and you don't have to feel this way. You are the creator, and you don't understand how it is to be a human being. So God already knew we were going to charge him foolishly like that. So he had already set in motion he had to come, and he had to not only feel every pain, every laughter, everything that you and I could possibly imagine could happen. Jesus felt that billions upon billions of time, a multiplicity of time. You can't count it. Jesus had to feel the pain for everyone. Number two is God chose human motherhood to introduce his son to the human race. Human motherhood to introduce him to the human race, which is God incarnate. Isaiah 7:14, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel, God with us. Luke 1:30-35. But the angel said to her, said Mary, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Where was David's throne? Did not on earth? David doesn't have a throne in heaven, right? Did anybody think he caught a ship and did it? You know, okay. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Who will? Jesus will. His kingdom will never end. But I thought when the rapture came, everything was over and is all an end. No. It's a time that you and I get to be a part of the kingdom and the continuation of God's kingdom and the continuation of God's creating. As God create, gosh, this thing, I want to get tape and tape it, I get it. God's creation of life, he has given to us as a gift through his son, so that you and I would have no reason to charge God foolishly. So Jesus comes to fill every problem that you and I have, every pain, every hurt. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, as he's to be born in the flesh, he's still known as the Son of God. The only ones who ever rejected him in all of creation as being the Son of God are the very ones he came to save. Or the very reason he came to earth was for the human race. The human race is the only one of God's creation that continually fights God. Animals don't fight God. Good gracious, they know enough about God, the animals, and God gives them that instinct. You want to know when something's wrong? You see the animals running? Follow them. If you got a choice of following the animals or following another human being, go with the animals, folks. Go with them. Catch up with them. Jump on a deer, ride it, whatever you need to do. Go with them, because God has given them an inner sense. He has given them the ability to sense danger. What do they do when they sense danger? They run from danger. What do we do when danger comes our way? If we don't sense it, we will run right into it. So Jesus came so that he could put us all back together and let us understand that of his greatest of creations, he loves us. But he had to come as a human being. That's not, and I don't say that because he had no choice. I say that because it was the choice of God the Father before time began. This is the way it's going to be. Again, can you wrap your mind around any of that? No, but isn't it a blessing that you can't? And aren't you so thankful that the only reason that the world is laughing at you because we are Christians is because they don't understand it? How in the world can you believe in this fantasy? Because, and then again, as Randy and I know, because he watches those stations too, as Randy and I know, I get on there and there's those scientists talking to me about the green men. and they are talking about how brilliant that they are, and the other professor, and they can believe in the green men, but they can't believe in the Son of God. Why not? Because he is spiritually discerned. You see, you and I come under conviction by the Holy Spirit. It is the Word of God that speaks to us. As I shared with you this morning, that's why we should stick with the Word of God. And as the Word of God deals with us, as the Word of God looks to our heart, he's crying out to us, come to me for I love you. Come to me because I care. It's not like the world yelling out, come to me because I need your money. Come to me because I need to be powerful over you. Jesus says, come to me because I died for you. Come to me because of me, you will never ever see death. I conquered death, Jesus said. See, people are saying, you know, death is, the grave is the end, the death is the last thing to be conquered. Folks, it may have been the last thing to be conquered, but it was conquered on the cross. At the cross, he conquered hell and he conquered death. That's why I say, according to Scripture, we will never die. Don't you feel sorry for those who don't know Jesus? Because neither shall they ever die. The pre-incarnate Christ had one nature, divine. The incarnate Christ had two natures, the one and only one. Remember, Jesus is the only one who has ever possessed two natures. They were either divine and human, and Jesus bridged the gap, and he's the only personality. I have to say it that way in order to try to understand it myself. It's Jesus is the only one who could be both, and we're the only reason that he became both. Fully divine and one fully human. One fully divine and one fully human. These two natures are forever inseparable. His bodily resurrection demonstrated this inseparability. Listen to John 20, 27 through 29. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. No. He never said you had to jump a rope or jump a pew or anything else. What did he say? Stop doubting and believe. Thomas, you saw me. You saw what took place on the cross. Here I am, the same human you saw on the cross. Look at my hands. Look at my side. Don't only just do that. Put your finger in the hole. Put your, you know, go ahead and reach your fist up there and see. That was. Now listen. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, very important for you and me, this verse. You got to catch this, because this is very important for us in this, in the church age. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed, or how much more blessed, are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I've never seen the holes in Jesus' hand or in his side, but I believe. The church age was to usher in the greatest gift that God could give the human race, his only begotten Son. You and I have been blessed to be a part of the church age. You have the Old Testament, the age of the prophets. You have the New Testament, which is the age, period of Christ walking on earth. And then you have the church age, where Christ has, you remember the battle in the garden, and do you remember that Satan's challenge to him about his offspring? And do you remember the word coming back, God, the Savior, will have offspring? We are his offspring. You remember the movie where you watched it when Satan walking around with that? I don't think I'd have been showing that ugly baby off, would you? Remember how horrible that dude looked? Anyway, he's walking around, here's my offspring, where's yours? We are the offspring of Christ, the church. We are the children of God. We say it all the time, but we need to look deep at us being the children of God. That's why Jesus came to be a human being. Without becoming 100% human, then you and I would not have a chance. Do you know that Jesus is the only one that can truly feel your pain? Every one of us could go through certain pains, whether it would be wounded for a lot of the warriors, whether it be through broken heart, of love and all of this other. We would go through all of those feelings. Jesus conquered each one individually. Then Jesus, I read that. Many other religions say that men and women can become a god. You do know that, don't you? There are many religions that teach that you can become a god. And you've met many people who see themselves as a god, I guarantee you. But that's a whole religion that teaches you will become God. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, humbly entered history to become a man. Think of this. But this poses another question about Jesus' humanity. Now think of it. Jesus is God who comes to be man. And the religion says you are a man and you will be a God, which is a false religion. Christ is God. Jesus came. He is God. And the only way that you could look upon God's face and not die was with Jesus in the human flesh. Do you not know that I and the Father are one? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And what did they say? I didn't know. Really? And to this day, we see many Christians struggling with that. Why do we struggle? Because we cannot control it, meaning we don't understand it, which is a great blessing of our Christianity. I don't understand my salvation, but I know I'm saved. I don't understand how God speaks to me, but I know He does. I don't understand that when I'm reading His Word, I can almost see His Word. But it happens. So just because I don't understand it, am I to turn away and say, I don't believe that? Foolish. The world seeks to know. You show me. And Christ said, I've already shown you in your heart. When you stand before the Father, God says, you will stand without excuse because I will have revealed myself to you. You got to believe. You just got to believe. It's called faith. And again, Lord, help my unbelief. How many times do we cry that out? And rightly so, God, help my unbelief. I don't even know what I don't believe. Now, think of this. There is so much of the love of God that He has poured out for us and to us. I believe all of it. And I wouldn't know how not to believe, but I know that I do believe. Number three, what were the purposes of the incarnation process? Here are just three of them for you. Number one, to redeem mankind. To redeem means to purchase, to buy. Oh, when this was at, well, let me read Galatians 4:4-7 first. But when the time had fully come, pay attention. God does not enter the human condition or any situation until the time has fully come. God has set the time. And when that time has fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of His Son. We've been bought with a price. Don't you say that salvation doesn't cost you anything? Salvation cost your Savior everything. You know, grace is free. You really think after Jesus went through what he went through and God stood back because of grace and didn't wipe us out, that you would say that, you know, it's no big deal? Free, the cost. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, see both of them there? Abba, Father. Abba, Daddy. Father, God the Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. We are the heir to the kingdom of God. I can picture the human condition saying to people, if I'm the heir to the kingdom of God, you know, I wonder how much I'm going to get. How many billions of people? I can see people trying to figure that one out. And I really believe that the people are trying to figure that out don't have a thing to worry about at all. To redeem mankind. You see, too often we think everything can be bought. Folks, nothing good can be bought. Everything good is a gift. Everything that really is going to mean something with you in your life is a gift. And behind all of those gifts is God and the love of his Son. Number two, Jesus came to feel and conquer human temptations. Glad he did that, aren't we? Because we sure aren't doing too hot at it, right? Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. If God had never, ever had to deal with the human existence, with the human pain and heartbreak and all, how would he know what you and I go through? Now, here's something even better for us, deeper. It's the idea of realizing that not one of us will ever be cloned. Not one of us. There is nobody ever that's exact. Out of all the billion, trillions, or however many that God has created, you and I need to understand spiritual discernment is the power given from God. Reason has nothing to do with it. Human reason, human thought has nothing to do with the spiritual encounter that you and I have, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just like we are, yet was without sin. What I was getting at a while ago, if there's nobody like me and nobody like you that would ever be, Jesus then had to conquer the type of sin that would have been in every individual personality. That's what he took to the cross. Now you wonder why that he fell under the weight? He fell from the human standpoint, not the spiritual. Did we not learn a lesson at the fall of Christ under the weight of the cross? Did we not see that the heirs of Christ, the body of believers, the church, that in the human condition, I cannot lift the cross by myself. And life itself will overwhelm us to the point we understand we can't do it. God already knew that. Jesus already lived and experienced the human condition. And he gave us the perfect sign and symbolism of helping one another. He would tell the Good Samaritan. He would tell the stories of that type of help. And the strength that would come from that. All the way through, he let us know, you need one another. Did he not tell that to the disciples? As he said, because I'm going to the Father. Now get you a sword and take with you money, because I'm not going to be there to take care of you. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Look, folks, when I'm hurting, I want grace. I don't need advice. When you're really down and you're really hurting and people come to you, or you go to someone in that, they don't need our advice because our advice isn't that hot. Because you're not really feeling what they're feeling. You can't experience that. You can't say, well, I know how you feel. No, you don't. Not one human being knows how another human being feels because that's how different we are. Because I may know that it hurts you, but I won't know how hard or how deep that it is hurting you. Number three, the final one is Jesus came to destroy the power of the devil. That is one of the reasons that he came that we so often push from our memory. Listen to this, Hebrews 2, 14 through 18. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Okay, he died on the cross. He destroyed that power then. It's not something that's going to come on the destruction. Only thing left to do is cast Satan down into hell with his angels. That's all that's left. The conquering has already taken place. That he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. So how much more? Now think of this. When you will hear me say that as a Christian, I'll never die. Because Jesus says that. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, right? Okay. Then if it were possible for me to feel death, Satan would have power over me, thus power over Christ in the human condition. Now, let me read it again. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. So in his death he destroyed the power. Satan has no power. Satan cannot mess with our new nature. Has no power. Verse 15, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Folks, it is amazing to me how many Christians are just so fearful of dying when the whole time that you've ever sat in a church, you heard that a child of God shall never die. And so Satan then blinds us from the human side. We see ourselves dying. Well, what do you call it when that body's in the grave? I call that body going right back to the dust from whence it was made. And I also call that body is the body that's coming back purified, glorified, because of who Jesus is. I'm not going to be in that body. I'm not even going to have that flashlight we talked about in that casket to read all the sweet thing. You know, that would be, well... For surely it is not angels he helps. Now listen to this one. Surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. You see, there, when people say you can't hide from God, you cannot hide the pain from God either. Sometimes we will hurt so deep with that pain. And the people, our friends and all, want to know, oh, what is it? What can we do to help them? There's not a thing you can do. It's Jesus. And it's already been done.